This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. This is actually my last show this week. I actually think this is everybody on the entire station's last show this week. Everybody is off for these next couple of days. I certainly would have worked if the Chiefs didn't have a preseason game coming up. I mean, I want to be here for Travis Kelce's last game, but I don't want to be here that bad for Travis Kelce's last game. I love watching football. I really do. Watching that game on Sunday for even the small amount of time that I watched it was some of the least amount of fun I've ever had watching football in my entire life. I rather would have watched some old throwback games on Metro Sports, a high school football, than watch the Kansas City Chiefs. Once Gardner Minshew went out and I was like, who's their starting quarterback? And then it hit me. I was like, you know what? I think I took them even off the second TV. They weren't even worthy of being on the, you know, I got the red zone TV. And then I have the Chiefs TV, and then I have like a third. They couldn't even be on that anymore. No, thanks. I don't have it.
We're rocking with the one TV right now, and it was a red zone Sunday.
Oh, 100%.
It was a red zone. And so, you know, at Thursday night, it's going to be great. Watch. Hope Travis Kelce does well. You know, hope there's some nice moments with him. Other than that, spend time with your family, man.
All right. I was kind of deciding what I wanted to talk about during the commercial break, and I'm going to save one of the topics. Maybe we'll do them later, but at least for right now, this is what I would like to talk about. I think there are three things that are really, really important to fans that if I was Clark, I would be very, very mindful of this right now. I would be super mindful of this. Number one is personal seat licenses. For those of you that don't know what a PSL is, because we've never had to deal with that here locally, it is basically a cover charge that you have to pay to then buy your tickets. It is now becoming pretty standard around the National Football League. I'm on the Tennessee Titans website right now, and listen to this. You have to book an appointment with the team, whether it is a Zoom with a season ticket representative or a physical appointment. And you have to go up there, and their PSLs start at $1,500 a seat. Now, you have 10 years to pay it off, but if you end up getting 4 seats on top of what you already pay for tickets, the Tennessee Titans are asking you, that is a starting price, to throw an extra $6,000 on top of those seats. And obviously, it goes up the more premium seats that you want to have. The Chiefs are going to make a substantial amount of money. And like almost every area in our life, you are seeing the more that companies are trying to squeeze every last dollar out of us, people are eventually pushing back. I don't care what product you sell, people have a limit. And the Chiefs are announcing a lot of major changes right now. They are changing literally everything. Addresses, culture. It is going to be different to go to Chiefs games. I would be super mindful about how much financially you are willing to push people while they are also paying for your stadium and you are making money hand over fist. We just went through the term sheet. The Chiefs get to keep 100% of the profits. They get to keep the parking, the tickets, the beer, 100% of profits. I would just be super mindful of this. You can't come out and say, I'm doing this for the fans, and then at every single turn, you're charging the fans more and more to attend your games. I'm telling you, once the newness of the stadium wears off, and if the Chiefs are not the Chiefs that they are right now, you will see tremendous pushback. I know they know this, but I feel like it is important to say. Tailgating is super important to your fan base and to the culture of your team. You have to know that. And in the push of their entertainment district that they are obviously going to throw out there, this is just not a stadium deal. This is a stadium deal and a practice facility deal and a multi-use. They're going to throw a lot of things and encourage you to use those things. But what is a foundational principle that Chiefs fans believe is we do this thing better than anybody in the rest of the National Football League. Better than Green Bay, better than whatever team you want to throw out that they decide to pick up a grill and go cook out in front of the stadium before the game. You feel like you do that better than anybody, and you don't want that tinkered with, and you don't want that messed with. Now, Clark has said it a million times. We understand. We'll see. You can't push people financially to the edge. Some of those people will not continue to support your product physically in person. I hope that you understand the tailgating aspect of things, and that is really highlighted in what the future plan is for the Kansas City Chiefs. And second, and I know it sounds crazy coming from me, I want the Chiefs Stadium to have an outdoor component. Outdoor football is a part of the Chiefs Arrowhead experience. Now, I'm not saying I don't want their stadium to have the ability to close the roof. I do want their ability to close the roof. But outdoor football being outside, the elements, the weather, is part of cheering for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think if you ask fans, do you want it to be open air? Do you want a retractable roof or a dome? I think you would see that there are very few people that want the Chiefs to 100% remove the outdoor element from their team. You want to live at a stadium that they never have another flyover? Is that part of Clark's vision? Is part of Clark's vision never having a flyover? Because that's what a dome means. So those are three things. I would just, if the Chiefs came to me and said, Carrington, what do you think? You live here. You talk sports. I would say the PSLs. I understand that the price is going to go up. If the price is going to go up and you're going to hit the community over the head with PSLs, you are going to see tremendous backlash to your fan base if you end up doing that. And I just don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze. You're already up. This is the person that's up 1,000 at the casino that just can't walk away from the table. Yo, how much more money do you need to leave the casino with? Like, we're already fine with giving you some of the money. You want all of the money? So I'd be really, really leery of the PSL idea that they are throwing out there. I hope they understand how important tailgating is to you guys. I really do. They can say it and say it and say it. I hope they show you that they understand how important tailgating is to you. And I know this sounds crazy coming from me. I don't have any interest in sitting out there in the cold, but I understand how important it is that that is an option. And that is part of going out to Arrowhead. And I hope that they get that too. This stadium cannot be Allegiant Stadium, but in Wyandotte County. I don't think that's what you guys want. Maybe it's not going to be completely open air like it is currently. I don't think that's the structure, but they can build the Houston Texans Stadium. The Texans have the ability to open it. They have the ability to close it. I hope that they give you that ability out there at Arrowhead. I want to play this audio for you guys in case you missed it. Earlier today on the show, we had Phil Lovoto on the show. He is the Jackson County executive. He is the man who took over for Frank White. It is a very interesting interview. I want to play it for you for the 5 o'clock audience.
Well, I'll be long-winded. You got to go back to the 2024 ballot. where the Chiefs and the Royals were on that to continue our 3/8 cent sales tax in Jackson County. And the campaign that I wasn't involved in, their philosophy was the Chiefs just won the Super Bowl and the voters are just going to roll over and pass it. Well, they didn't. The Royals were on it also, and there was a lot of problems with transparency about information, about community benefits, about even the location of the stadium, and it did not pass. 54% no. So that gave the Chiefs and the Royals pause to think, well, what should I be doing? Am I going to be able to stay in the stadiums? And both of the teams started figuring out maybe we'll go somewhere else. At the same time, the person whose chair I'm in now, Frank White, was problematic in that ballot. He fought against it, and he did some disservice to the people of Jackson County in having them make the best decision on that. And then he continued to, and he continued to not talk to the teams. And without the teamwork of the state, the county, and the city, nothing's going to happen. So since that issue, the ballot failed, the state legislature passed the Show Me Progress bonds, which said legislation, which said the state will pay up to 50% of renovation or new facility, which that changed the world. That changed everything, the dynamics of it. And then Frank White gets recalled, and they get a new guy in there, and that's me. And I have a longtime relationship with Mark Donovan, the Chiefs. I know John Sherman, I know the Royals, I know the governor. And so we finally found ourselves in a place where we put a team together to put together a package that consisted of all the input from the state, from the county, and the city. And so working with Mayor Lucas and the governor, we sat down and figured out what's our best bet to put together. And from me taking the office 8 or 9 weeks ago, which feels like 8 or 9 years, I had ongoing conversations with the Chiefs and the governor and the mayor for weeks. And we got to a point where we understood they wanted to renovate Arrowhead Stadium. And we put together what was the best plan for the people of Jackson County, people of Missouri, and for the team. We had a great relationship talking to the team. And every week going forward, I was talking to Mark weekly, sometimes daily about it. And we were moving in the right direction. And here comes Starbonds. Here comes Kansas. We're at the end of their extension, and it's going to end December 31st, and they start hard pressing the Chiefs. And I'm not privy to that conversation. I'm privy to only from the Missouri side, so I don't know what Kansas is promising. And so at some point, Kansas promised them the world. We had a $1.6 billion plan that was going to renovate Arrowhead Stadium, make it state-of-the-art facility under renovation, keeping Arrowhead. Well, unbeknownst to us, Kansas had a $4 billion deal to build them a brand new stadium with a dome, practice fields, and office. So we were not able to compete on the same levels then because they were asking for apples and we were asking for oranges. But up to the day, even last week, the deal wasn't done. And I got to give Mark Donovan, the Chiefs, credit. They stayed in contact with me and said, don't listen to the noise out there. Don't listen to Topeka. The deal is not done. And to their credit also, they contacted me before and said, we are going to go with the Kansas deal.
I guess at least how it sounds to me is, and I have to use the terms that I've used when you weren't here, like we're here, we're having this conversation. It sounds to me like Missouri got played. And I use the analogy, you remember this, a while ago, whenever the Pittsburgh Penguins wanted to move. And they were using the Sprint Center as a, well, we might move to Kansas City, we might move to Kansas City. And ultimately, they got what they wanted. I never thought that the Chiefs' plan was to stay just based off their renovation plans. Do you feel like they played both states against one another to ultimately get the best business deal for themselves? And based on what you're saying, it doesn't sound like that was ever going to be on the Missouri side.
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, I'll answer this way. I'm mad about it. I'm disappointed about it, like every other Chiefs fan out there. I don't want them to go over there. I wouldn't say that we got played. I would say they leveraged deals. And I think they knew what they were getting from Missouri, and they knew what they were getting from Kansas. And they sat down, and they had to make a decision. The Hunt family had to decide. Do we stay with the legacy and renovate Arrowhead Stadium, or do we go to the nice, fun, bright, shiny, brand-new thing? And I think they wrestled with that. They made the decision to go to Kansas. I don't agree with that. I wish they didn't. I think there's a lot of there's millions of people that feel the same way as me, and I think there's a lot of argument of why that was a bad decision on their part and better to stay at Arrowhead. I frankly don't want to get into the details, but I don't think these star bonds, I don't think they work out. I think there's too many details. I think you have to have $125 million just to deal with the debt every year. I mean, that just those numbers don't add up, and I think we're going to find that out when we get in the details. But that aside, I wouldn't say that we were played. I think that they were in a business, and they had to make a decision whether they were going to go all in for a new facility or renovate Arrowhead.
Do you think this deal gets done if you're in place and not Frank White?
Oh, someone asked me, do you wish you would have been here sooner? I said, I sure do. Frank White was an impediment to it. He wasn't all of it, but he was a lot of it. And the fact that we didn't have a team together. And the Chiefs had a problem dealing with the county before. And I think that they were like, wait a second. We got to deal with the county, the state, and the city now, or we can go over and just deal with Kansas. And no voter approval over in Kansas. It was just handed to them. So I think that probably that was part of their decision making. Now, I know that they told me they were so happy to have me there. The governor told me that. And we put together a team that we were all collaborating, and we made it easier. But I think at the end of the day, the money won out.
So yesterday when Clark met with the media, how he described it is it sounded like the conversations with Kansas were very simplistic and straightforward. And at least on the Missouri side, you got to get Kansas City, Missouri all on one accord. You got to get Jackson County yourself all on one accord and the state on one accord. I was talking to somebody yesterday and they described you guys' plan as good and complicated. Do you think those complications are ultimately what's pushed the Chiefs away and forced them to go with Kansas? Is they, A, they're offering us a substantial amount of money and it's just easier to deal with them.
Yes, and I'll answer another question part of that. I'm going to speak for Clark Hunt too. I think his frustration that he mentioned about dealing with the state, the county, and the city is from past dealings. It was problematic. The county executive and even the legislature time were not getting along. I mean, that's not brand new news to anyone. And the city, the mayor, did not have a relationship with the county executive. And clearly the governor didn't at that time. And since then, we have a new governor and we have a new county executive and we have a mayor and we've worked together. So I will go out on a limb to speak for Clark Hunt. The frustration was from that. And so now you're dealing with a new package, a new team. You're confident in them. I know Mark Donovan's confident in them. The family's confident. But then you look at the brand new stuff over there and you're only dealing with one entity, the LCC and the governor. It made it simpler. But I think his frustration was from the past, not from this team now.
I do want to go forward, and I certainly want to ask you, I mean, at some point, it's kind of spilled milk. The Chiefs have left in that capacity. What do you think would have gone differently? Because it's not like this was a 50-50 coin flip kind of vote. I mean, this thing was rejected resoundingly in Jackson County. What steps would you have taken differently that now, if we could play this thing out and kind of Monday morning quarterback it, potentially could have had a different outcome?
That's a good question, because here's how it would have worked. We were going to put only on the ballot lowering the quarter cent sales tax to the sole tenant of the Truman Sports Complex, the Chiefs, in 2031. No Royals at all. So then we're just asking the people of Jackson County, let's keep a tenant there. Let's make sure we don't have an empty Truman Sports Complex. You love your Chiefs. You want to keep them here. It's simple. It was a more simple ballot issue than the one before where the Chiefs were staying. The Royals were getting a new stadium. Who knows where at the time during the before the election, there were three different locations. So yes, moving forward, it was going to be a lot simpler to get that passed. And the appetite in Jackson County is against new taxes, but they're for lower taxes and they're for the Chiefs. So right now, I'm telling you, there's 90% chance they're staying in Kansas with star bonds, but there's only 10% chance that something doesn't work and details don't work. And things change. This is a big, huge deal. A lot of moving parts. It's not as simple as everybody just celebrating in Topeka like they were. I wish them the best of luck. I don't want them to have to revamp or anything, but things could go wrong. Get the devil's in the details.
When did you know it was over with the Chiefs? Because the analogy I'll use is we've all been watching a game and our team is down 10, but you're thinking, man, if we can just get this stop, we can force a turnover, we can get right back in the game. There had to be a point at some point over the last 48 hours where you realized that all the work, all the negotiation that you had put through, it wasn't going to mean for anything and that the Chiefs were eventually going to leave. When did you reach that point?
Well, over the weekend, even as late as the weekend, I was still talking to the team and asking them what they think about Kansas, and I was assured the deal is not done. We're still going to Kansas. This meeting has been planned for a long time, and they shared with me there's different options. We could go up there and they could have a deal and we could agree to it. There's a deal we could think, hey, maybe we'll think about it. They could extend the star bonds. There's all these different options, and they were up front. I mean, this deal could happen, but it hasn't happened yet. So when I knew is when Mark Donovan called me on Monday, said, I told you I'd call you. We're going to take this deal in Kansas. We think it's the best. Appreciate you working with us. We're going to be still your tenant in your stadium for a while. We don't have any hard feelings. And I said to him, well, thank you. I want to say good luck, but I don't wish you good luck. And that's before they went into that meeting.
So let's talk about the Royals, because I think there's, I would say, a couple of big questions that people have. And also, what's the future of the Truman Sports Complex look like? Let's just start with a 1,000-foot view question. Where are the negotiations with the Royals currently at? Do you feel like we are close to getting a resolution on their side as well?
Well, I'll tell you from my point of view, and I'll speak for the governor and the mayor also on this. We decided to focus on the Chiefs. The Royals are still working at looking at locations, doing their due diligence. They have surveys out. They're looking at different locations, and we've given them their grace. And I've reached out to John Sherman many times, say, hey, John, the fact that we didn't talk this week doesn't mean I don't love you and I don't want you to be in Jackson County, but I'm letting you have your space and me not bug you. So we were focused on this deal with the Chiefs that was getting closer. We knew what our package was, and we knew they just had to decide whether us or Kansas. So now we turn towards the Royals, and I think there's still an opportunity for the Royals to be in Jackson County, in Missouri, and not to go to Kansas. I think the star bonds, I think all the air sucked out of the room for the Royals on any of those star bonds in Kansas. And, I mean, they're done in, what, 4 or 5 days? They run out. So as far as Missouri, there's so many locations. There's Jackson County or there's North Kansas City. I think those are their options.
If it's up to you, you are in these negotiations. Where do you want the stadium to be?
In Jackson County. I'll tell you that for sure.
You want the East Village? Do you want the Crossroads? The Washington Square Park?
I haven't weighed in on a specific location because I want to hear from the team. I want to hear what they think. I can speculate that Washington Park is not big enough for what they want to do around the stadium. I can speculate that they liked the East Village before, but there was some sort of location problem with that in the Power and Light District, the synergy between there. And there's another location, the old ATA over between 18th and Vine there. I think that's a great location. I mean, it can have the Crossroads grow in between that and there. It's got great access to the highway, and it has enough room to be able to really make a fantastic ballpark and the amenities and the district around that. So I say that just saying that I want the best deal for the people of Jackson County and for the Royals. And so I'm not going out on a limb and saying I want it there.
Is there a deadline that you guys are looking at potentially to get this figured out with the Royals?
I'm still being patient with what the Royals want to do. And they know that, and they've reached out to me, and I've reached out to them. And
what do you think they want to do? Because to me, that answer seems like it changes every 3 months.
You might be right. Here's why. I know they want to find the best fit for them. I know they do not want to have the debacle of what happened in the ballot issue, where things were changing, location were changing at the last minute. They want to be transparent. They want to have all their facts. They want to have all their numbers. And they're going at this methodically and logically. And I respect them for that, because that makes my job a lot easier. If they've come in and said, here's where we want to be, and here's why, and here's how you can help us do it. If they just say, hey, we just want to stay in Jackson County, that's hard for me. So I'm patient. I don't have a deadline. I'm not pushing them to any sort of deadline.
Is it possible to get a stadium pass for the Royals without a public vote?
It can or it can't. You know, what we have done in this negotiations, the county was kind of taking the lead, taking the package together for the Chiefs, and the city was kind of working on the Royals. So Mayor Lucas has been working on that. And there was a plan we talked about where we didn't have to go before the voters to get a stadium, new Royals stadium together. So we have a lot of options, and we're going to think outside the box. When I can pick up the phone and call down Jefferson City, that makes my life a lot easier. The resources we have, the bonding capabilities, the tax incentives, the tax credits. We played it safe on what we thought we were doing with the Chiefs, and it was fair. It was transparent. We didn't raise taxes, and we're going to do the same thing with the Royals. But we're gonna make sure we're thinking outside the box.
What's an idea for the Truman Sports Complex? Because, I mean, that has been, I would say, a landmark for the city. How I described it yesterday is, you know, if you're driving in from that part of I-70, it is sort of you have arrived in Kansas City. It's a very warming feeling to see.
I will tell you this. I had a meeting this morning about that issue and some amazing out-of-the-box ideas. Like, wow, that could work. That could be amazing. So I tell you that. I tell you we're thinking about it. It's not something that's lost. I'm not going to share any of those ideas because we're going to have our own little shock and awe about that when we decide of what we can put there. Because it's an amazing location. It's on 435 and I-70. It's so close there. We can do some great things there.
Do you fear that you've lost leverage with the Royals? Like, the Chiefs had leverage. They had a choice. There were two places that were making substantial offers for them. You guys offered $1.6 billion. Another place offered $2 billion. Like, there were two people fighting over them. It doesn't really feel like right now that anybody is fighting over the Royals, but Now, I would say that Jackson County appears to be in a very desperate situation. You guys already lost one team. You don't want to be in a position to lose another one. Do you fear that you've lost leverage in a negotiation, which matters?
No, because we're not in the negotiations yet. We don't really know what they want to do, where they want to be. The exact address of where that stadium will be matters a lot in what the negotiations are, what we can do. I mean, there's federal tax credits and federal tax incentives that are going to matter on the address. So out at Arrowhead, you could do some amazing things with $250 billion of stuff. I mean, there's so much we can do. So I guess my response is it matters on the location of where we go for there. So I don't think we've lost leverage. I think we're just not in the negotiating stage yet to know what we can actually put together as a package.
That was Phil Lavota. He is the Jackson County executive. He is the man that took over for Frank White. We got time to take some of your phone calls coming up on the other side, 913-586-7965. We can react to what you just heard from Phil Lavota. And obviously, right now, we're talking about the stadiums and the future of the Truman Sports Complex. All that's coming up. Keep it locked in right here on 96.5 The Fan. All right, welcome back into the show. We've been talking about the new stadium and... This is my official stance on the stadium. It is going to be new. It is going to be different. It is going to be a massive change. Arrowhead and Kauffman is all we know. But we are here now. I did my part as a Jackson County voter. I didn't sit on the sidelines. I didn't vote no. I didn't love the plan. I didn't fully support the plan, but I wanted to avoid where we currently are, which is the uncertainty about what's going to happen. And there was a plan that gave me a measure of certainty, so I voted yes. Now I failed. That's democracy. That's how this works. But now that we are here and I can't do anything about it, all I can do is correct my attitude. Yes, I am disappointed. I wanted Arrowhead to stay there. I wanted the Chiefs to be on this side of state line. If you had told me 10 years ago, well, the Chiefs are getting a new stadium and the Royals, what would you like to have happen? I wanted the Chiefs to do what the Cardinals did, what the Yankees did, and build new Arrowhead Stadium right there next to it. Take all the things that we like about Arrowhead Stadium and modernize it the same way that the Cardinals did. And I would have voted for the Royals to go to downtown Kansas City. Now, that is still a possibility with the Kansas City Royals. But the Chiefs, they obviously have a completely different plan. So I at least want to go into this plan with an open mind of what that looks like for us. I think it goes without saying, the Chiefs are getting a Super Bowl at some point. I'm sorry, that's cool. And for as great as Arrowhead is, they were never getting a Super Bowl in their current structure. But if you now look at the last 15 years of stadiums that have been built in this country, NFL-wise, if you build a new stadium, the NFL gives you a Super Bowl. In 2010, MetLife, they built a new stadium. They got the Super Bowl 4 years later. San Francisco built a new stadium. They got one 2 years later. Minneapolis built one in 2016. They got one 2 years later. Atlanta in 2017. They got the Super Bowl in 2019. SoFi and Las Vegas both opened up stadiums during COVID. Both of them got the Super Bowl in less than 5 years. SoFi got one in 2 years, and Vegas had one a couple of years ago. You can go back to Detroit in 2002, certainly not a Super Bowl destination. They built Ford Field in 2002. They got a Super Bowl in 2006. So it is not an if the Chiefs are going to get a Super Bowl. The question is when the Chiefs get a Super Bowl. And obviously, they're going to get more things than that. The Chiefs have a chance to have... I don't think it's going to be as nice as Cowboys Stadium. Just seems kind of hard to be if you've seen that stadium. And that stadium is amazing. Like, Cowboys Stadium is incredible. They got a chance to have the second best stadium in the National Football League in terms of how nice it is and the amenities that they have. Now, let's see what we like about the stadium. Let's see what we don't like about the stadium. And there's certainly going to be some changes. But I'm at least going to it with the open mind of what the stadium could potentially turn out to be. So I'm not going to prejudge it yet. We just don't have enough information yet for me to form my opinion. And what I'm worried about in this conversation is people have already decided so many different things. Oh, the tailgating is going to stink. Oh, the parking is not going to be good. Oh, it's going to cost too much. Oh, it's going to... Well, let's let them announce some stuff first. And then we will be the first ones at 2 o'clock to announce these changes. But I can't get myself worked up and mad about something when I don't even know what I'm worked up and mad about.
Clark Hunt said yesterday the first order of business is hiring an architect. They like everything we're moving forward based off of is like potential renderings from someone they hired to give them a bid a couple of years ago. We don't even know who's going to actually be designing this project or building it yet. So I'm with you. We need to just be patient and let this thing, you know, we can guess or hypothesize on what it will include. We do need to wait. I will say that just as a human, we are averse to change. As someone who grew up in Jackson County, had you asked me 10 years ago where should the stadiums go, I wouldn't have wanted them to move at all. But over the last few years, it's become pretty like widely known that the Chiefs are either going to this area in Wyandotte County or staying where they are. And the Royals are probably moving downtown. That's shifted a little bit, but you get what I'm saying. And we've known for a long time that this is a possibility. It's just kind of it's wild and it stings on the Missouri side that it's here and that it's happened. As far as the Super Bowl goes, only the next 3 years, I think, are allocated. We've got Santa Clara this year, and then SoFi will have its second and Mercedes-Benz will have its second in Atlanta in the next 2 years. These cookie cutter stadiums that are now getting their second Super Bowls, if you don't like them, there's a lot of them coming in the NFL. If you don't like Allegiant, SoFi, and all those, man, Nashville's opening one, Cleveland's opening one, Kansas City, Washington, Buffalo's will be open air, but they're opening one. This market's going to get way saturated. This is where stadiums are moving. This is what they're becoming in the NFL.
Yeah, for sure. Someone on the text line says, CDOT, so you're saying we need to give up 50 years of history for one Super Bowl. Really, that's how you feel. I didn't give up anything. I live in Jackson County and voted yes. What I'm telling you is the decision was made for me. It's not like Clark Hunt came down like, hey, Carrington, you get to decide this thing. We had a vote. The vote lost. This was the possibility. I just don't have it in me to spend the next 5 years mad that they lost. They lost. It's over. So I would just enjoy Arrowhead for as long as we have it. And now we know, like, we know when the end is for Arrowhead, and I would suggest to enjoy it and embrace that it is about to change. And I guess I also just, I think people, I'm not saying you're overreacting to it, because some people just don't know. Just because you can't go to the Super Bowl doesn't mean that having the Super Bowl here is not going to be incredible. I've been fortunate enough to go to the Super Bowl city 3 separate times. I've never been to the game before. Man, being in the city the week of the Super Bowl is cool. And there's a lot of really cool, fun stuff to do that maybe you can't afford to go to the game, but you will be able to do all the really fun, cool stuff that is around hosting and having the Super Bowl. Parties that you would have never had the ability to, you will have the ability to go to them. So yes, not everybody will be able to physically go to the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, I've been to the Super Bowl week in multiple cities. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It's a great time. If you think the draft was a big deal, it is that on steroids, the week of it.
It's the draft times 25. It's the draft times 25. It's what artists do you like? You can go to that concert that day.
Yeah, they're performing at Margaritaville.
100%. Yeah. Like, tell what artists do you like? They're just doing a secret pop-up show somewhere and you can go. It'll be concerts at Sprint Center every day that week. Like, it will be a lot of fun that the Super Bowl is here. People come to the Super Bowl because they want to party, they want to hang out, they want to do stuff. The week the Super Bowl is here, I'm telling you, it will be a lot of fun. It ain't going to be warm. It will be a lot of fun, though, that the Super Bowl is here. All right, we got a little bit of time here. This is actually our last segment of the week. I'm off for the rest of the week. We'll be back on Monday and Tuesday next week. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive. I want to tell you guys something really, really important. I want you to remember this, and I want you to retain this information for 2026. Someone says, Carrington, you didn't really break down the game this week. I want to tell you this. I watch sporting events for two reasons. I watch them for my enjoyment and entertainment, and or we need to talk about it on the show. If it doesn't fit either one of those two categories, just assume that I didn't watch it. There was nothing enjoyable. There was nothing entertaining about it. And I knew pretty early on, I would say I knew on Friday, that we were going to spend Monday and Tuesday talking about the stadium. I knew pretty early on that was going to be the case. I didn't watch that game, man. I say that almost proudly. I didn't watch the Chiefs game. it was kind of freeing in a way that I didn't watch the Chiefs game. I watched a lot of other football games. I wasn't watching that team. I had an eye on the game. And then when I saw the injury to Gardner Minshew, I realized at that point that I don't know if I needed to watch the Chiefs for the rest of the season. I didn't know if I need to watch them again. Now, I'm going to the game on Thursday because I asked the ticket fairy for the suite tickets because I'm just thinking, man, I might not ever get a chance like this. I might not ever get a shot to watch the game in the suite. And I got the gold parking. Oh, I'm going out there. Now, you know, might be Travis Kelce's last game. I got to celebrate the end of Arrowhead. Like, I'm going to make it more of a point to go to more games over the next couple of years, you know? I got to try to appreciate Arrowhead while we still got it. But I want you to remember that. I watch sporting events for enjoyment, entertainment, or because I know we're going to talk about it on the show. I mean, I watch NBA games. I know we're not going to talk about it on the show, but I enjoy them. I think they're fun. I think they're entertaining. Chiefs and Titans, it didn't check any one of those boxes for me, so it's a no. I can't do it.
What's the name of the gentleman starting for the Chiefs at quarterback Thursday night? Go.
It's the Oladokun guy, right?
Okay, you got it. We talked about it yesterday.
Yeah, I know that, but yeah, I don't know okay. Much else. I don't know what else is happening with them. It's not like in February I'm going to be like, hey, do you guys remember that Week 17 Titans game? No. The moment Patrick Mahomes went down and grabbed his knee was the end of the Chiefs season for me. The end of the Chiefs season.
I mean, they were grasping at straws to not go to 6-8 on that drive as well. I think
yeah, that's the end of the season.
For that was they were done anyway. One note about Thursday night: if the Chargers win out, they're the one seed.
Yeah,
that matchup in Week 18 that the Broncos have coming up against the Chargers is going to be big. So root for the Chargers over the Texans this weekend. I would much rather see the division fall to the Chargers than the Broncos.
We got time to take a couple more phone calls before we sign off today. Seth, you calling into the show? Seth, how you doing, man?
Hey, not too bad. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate you, man.
I have a pretty different, unique perspective. You know, I've only been in Kansas City my last 5 years. I mean, I'm from 2 hours away in Manhattan. But the last 5 years, I mean, what I've gotten to learn about Kansas City is downtown KCK, you know, it's been forgotten about, man. It's a blight. It's, you know, a lot of native Kansas Cityans are embarrassed about the actual architecture of downtown KCK. So, you know, you know me, you don't remember me last time. I always got to preach the good word of our Lord and Savior Carrington. And yes, I am talking about the Dr. Philip Calvin DeGraw. And he once said, no matter how flat you make a pancake, there's always two sides. So what I think about when I'm thinking about the stadium, yes, we're thinking about that one side right now. But that second side, I mean, we're talking about the revenue that we can make, that the county and the state can make from the stadiums. I mean, how amazing can it be if the people of Wyandotte vote the right people to make the right decisions to revitalize downtown Kansas City, Kansas, the same way that we have seen North Kansas City being revitalized these last 10, 15 years? How amazing would that be? So that's been my perspective with the stadium situation.
Seth, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thank you so much for calling. I was a little confused there for a second. I'm happy you clarified that for me. When he said Lord and Savior, I thought he was about to start preaching or something. I was about to let it go, but I thought that's what he was about to do.
Phil McGraw and C-Dot said faith.
I was like, wait, who? I heard him say Philip. I was like, who? I was like, oh, is that Jesus' first name? I wasn't sure. All right, I am off for the rest of the week. Everybody actually on 96.5 is off for the rest of the week. We'll catch back with you guys on Monday. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.